Welcome to another edition of the Y-Pod, where we highlight everyday Wyoming leaders. This episode features Kent Noble from the University of Wyoming. We talk about making the important decisions in our lives, translating ethics into the real world, and keeping or attracting people to Wyoming. Hope you enjoy listening, even a little bit as much as we enjoyed recording it. Here we go with Kent Noble.
My name is Kent Noble, and I'm the Bill Daniels Chair of Business Ethics at the University of Wyoming.
Before we dive too much into what you do right now, could you kind of play the story back for us a little bit?
Sure.
What's a little bit of the story of your career, your background?
Oh boy, you're going to think I have ADHD, I'm afraid. I have had a lot of different jobs. My career has taken some twists and turns that I never could have imagined. Usually, I didn't go looking for new opportunities. They were opportunities that presented themselves. The door was open. It sounded scary and exciting, which for me tends to be the perfect opportunity, I guess. If it's something that really excites me but scares the heck out of me, I think I better really consider this. I got my undergraduate degree here at UW in broadcasting. And wanted to work in sports production. And I knew I had to be in a major market to have a significant career. So I moved to the East Coast, moved to Washington, D.C., and did get into that business. And I was back on the East Coast for about 10 years, but missing Wyoming, and found an opportunity to come back. Connected with a filmmaker who was making films for National Geographic and Discovery Channel and Turner Broadcasting. And they were wildlife films. And so that's what got me back to the region. I was in Jackson Hole. A weird twist of fate, I met the athletics director at the University of Wyoming. Well, I got an opportunity to come back to UW and work in the athletics department. So I did that. And it was wonderful. Enjoyed it a lot. Another weird twist of fate, met the dean at the business school at UW here. And an opportunity for an assistant dean position came open. And so I made the jump to the College of Business. Had never considered working in academia before. I met another gentleman who wrote a best-selling book called Cowboy Ethics. Eric, at this point, I had liked everything I'd ever been involved with. But through Jim Owen, I found my passion. And that was ethics. And helping people decide what it is they stand for and who it is they want to be and how they can live their life in a way that shows that. I ended up partnering with Jim for a few years, and we traveled the country and spoke at universities and with businesses. I happened to be on the advisory board at the College of Business at the time when the job I have now, this Bill Daniels Chair of Business Ethics position, opened up. And even though I really don't have the academic credentials you would typically associate with an endowed chair position, I got the opportunity. And that was 5 years ago. And I'm so glad I did it.
What types of things do you talk about? What types of ideas do you get students to think about?
What we hope to accomplish in the class is to give them a framework to help them make the best personal and professional decisions. Because, you know, when you think about it, we're all a reflection of these decisions and choices that we make in our life. I saw a statistic that the average person makes 35,000 decisions a day. It doesn't even seem possible, but go ahead and Google it. And that's the number that comes up. And when you think that one bad decision can literally change the whole course of your life, it just really occurred to me, we need to give these important decisions in our life, you know, the proper due diligence, the proper framework to really consider what do we want to accomplish in our lives and how is this decision going to affect me. So we spend quite a bit of time working with the students to develop this framework. For example, we have them identify what it is that's important to them. So one of the principles in my code is live each moment like your kids are watching. And I got to tell you, Eric, it's really difficult for me to make a bad decision if I integrate that into my decision-making process. So that's what we try to do for our students, help them find some personal principles that will help them along the line as they're making their decisions.
How do you make the material real as opposed to it being theoretical, something they study in a classroom and it comes out of a book?
I'll stick with the code for a second, the personal codes that these students develop. And what's neat about the codes is each one's obviously unique to them. When we have employers in the classroom and they're talking about what they do, opportunities with their companies, and I ask the employers, you know, what do you think about the process that these students are going through where they develop this code of theirs? And, you know, if they could talk about that during an interview, and if they could talk about how their values are in alignment with your organization's, is that something that would be of interest? Is that important to you? Every employer we've ever had in the classroom thought that was a fascinating concept and that it would give our students a leg up on the competition, because all these employers are looking for people with character, people who can fit into their company culture, you know, people who they can trust. If our students are able to bring that as part of the equation, again, a leg up. The students also have an opportunity over the course of the semester to work with a business and help it create its own code. A lot of these smaller Wyoming businesses haven't maybe taken the time or don't have the expertise to help identify a set of guiding principles for their company. And so we give our students some tools to be able to go out into the workplace and work with organizations and do that. And we get great feedback on that from the organizations. And another thing they can do is interview a business leader about the company's culture and how they use principles. These tend to be larger businesses that they interview, but they can interact with the leaders and learn more about their businesses that they can bring back to the classroom and share with other students.
If anyone happens to have seen your videos on YouTube, the enthusiasm that you have, we'll link to them, by the way. If people haven't seen them, they should check them out. It's so much more than skin deep for you. You really believe this with a deep, deep passion. Do you find your students pick up on that? Or is it for them more of a theoretical thing?
Well, thank you, because it is a passion for me. And the reason why it is once I came up with this personal code for myself, once I went through that exercise, I mean, it literally changed the way I think. It changed the way I make my decisions. And it led to me, as I explained, changing my career. So that was really impactful for me. And so it's easy for me to get enthusiastic about it because I know what it can do for our students as well.
The idea that you're conscious of this code that you've written for yourself and you bought into it and it's helping you, do you find it something that gets to be a habit, or is it something you still think about very consciously to avoid making decisions that you would make and you would regret if you didn't think about it consciously?
Gosh, that's such a good question, because I would say there are times where it's muscle memory. And then there's other times where I find myself really struggling on a tough, you know, dilemma. And of course, the definition of a dilemma is there's going to be negative consequences regardless of which option you choose. And in those situations, I really do try to slow down and just reference my code. And it might not align perfectly with all my principles, but on balance, what is the best decision for the people I care about? What's the best decision for me and my family, my community, my students, whoever the stakeholders happen to be in that particular situation? So some of it's muscle memory, but there are times where I'm really struggling where I'll just say, I need to really sit down and think about this principle by principle.
When you end up in a position like this, part of it was not only the position, but also the geography. You wanted to be back in Wyoming.
Yes.
When you think about all the students that you work with, they're also making a similar choice. Do I stay in Wyoming? Do I go somewhere else? How do you advise them as they're processing or making choices like that that are going to dictate very different pathways in their life?
I have some students that certainly come to me and they say, I love Wyoming, but I feel like I owe it to myself to try something different. And it'd be pretty hypocritical of me, since I did the exact same thing, to not say, you know what, I get it. And if that is important to you, you should do it. Because you always wonder if you didn't. It was a great growth opportunity for me. I'm glad I did it. So again, I would encourage a student, if that's what they want, you should go do it. Now, on the other hand, if you already know, or maybe you live somewhere else and you want to be in Wyoming, well, I'll do everything I can to help those students, you know, find a home, find something that fits for them. And that's not just me. That's our college. That's our university. We want people to stay here, and we need people to stay here. We don't want to lose these good students. And if they ask my opinion, I will tell them, I think long run, you're going to be happier here.
You could be doing the things that you're doing in a lot of different places. Why is it you choose Wyoming?
I'm going to tell you why my daughter chose Wyoming, because she looked at schools all over the country and she chose Wyoming for the same reason I did. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think she was going to go here. I really didn't. She visited schools in California. She visited schools in Arizona and Colorado. She went to Florida. It seemed to me she had stars in her eyes in a lot of these locations. And so I had braced myself. She's my oldest. And I was ready that she was going to go somewhere else. She called me up and she said, Dad, I've made a decision. I know where I want to go. And I did. I braced myself. I thought, oh gosh, where is it? Please don't say CSU. I'm going to come to Wyoming. And I said, why? I'm so happy, but why? You were looking everywhere. And she said, it's the people. I'm the most like these people. And I kind of get choked up thinking about it, Eric. That's why I'm here too. We moved here when I was 4. I've lived a lot of different places. Every place had better weather. No place had better people.
On behalf, both as a parent who's had a child go through your programs, but also someone who's a citizen, and I see what you're trying to do in Wyoming. Thanks for staying here. Thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. It's such a privilege, I tell you, to work with these students. And I am so honored. Every time I walk into the classroom, I pinch myself, because you are helping these young people build a foundation of success. And what could be more important than that?
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for the opportunity.